This here is the Nerdcast, Season 5, Episode 11. You're welcome.
Hey, this is Sam Levine. You probably know me from such projects as Freaks and Geeks, Inglourious Basterds, and an Emmy-snubbed episode of That's So Raven. You're listening to the Nerdcast.
Welcome back to another exciting episode of Project Nerds.
Gosh, come on.
The Nerdcast.
Tighten up.
I don't even know. Anyways.
Welcome, everyone, to the Nerdcast brought to you by Project Nerds, sponsored by Nerd Kung Fu.
There you go. Head on over to nerdkungfu.com/projectnerd to get some awesome t-shirts. As well as other geek items, fun gifts, and everything. Based out of California, they ship fast, great customer service, and the shirts are super comfortable. But definitely nerdkungfu.com/projectnerd. But this is, as Tyler pointed out, the Nerdcast by Project Nerd. That's how he wants it presented. So we'll go with what Tyler wants.
I'm afraid to say it, but he's better at the whole introduction thing than you are, Iggy.
The conjunction between Nerdcast and Project Nerd is not important. The important part is that Project Nerd and Nerdcast don't bump against each other the other direction.
You don't need to
The nerds can't touch.
All right. Makes sense. Project Nerds, Nerdcast, yeah, because it's a little crazy.
But the head to toe formation, there's no way for them to lock in.
Could you be more homophobic? Good Scrubs reference. Save the beginning. So Michelle, Adam, Aaron, Tyler, myself, Iggy, all here, and we've already dished out the Scrubs reference, and we're going straight into one of what we mentioned last time. There's three movies we have to talk about every podcast, at least till shortly after each one is out. And then probably again, once it's time for them, come to home video. We're going to start with The Martian, because I don't know if everybody saw a new viral video out on the Aries 3, as well as Toronto Film Festival. Huge, huge reviews, rave reviews, exciting reviews.
Glowing
reviews. I don't know, Tyler, any other adjectives for our, but
I don't know. What did I use? Did I use glowing the other day? I think I did.
Possibly. That would be the most logical one to use of all the ones that I dished out first. But anyways, so yeah, it premiered at Toronto Film Festival, like many movies, especially award contenders. And I wonder, I don't know, the movie doesn't seem like the type of award contender, but maybe, more and more sci-fi, those types of movies are being considered by the Academy. Other than that, I think you also have a lot to look forward to in terms of how accurate it is to the book, maybe, I guess, a way to put it.
The reviews I've read, a couple of them were, typical movie reviews, just saying like it manages to do some things without being boring. Ars Technica had a review, which they don't normally, review movies, but, on the geeky side of it, said that, all the technology, all the stuff from the book was still there, but it didn't, bog down the narrative. The thing I was most excited about is that the running time clocks in at over 2 hours, which means that they're trying to get as much in there as they possibly can, which is good. So.
Yeah, you guys know how I feel about runtimes and stuff like that. I'd rather have a 2 hour and 20 minute movie that's able to get its point across as opposed to an hour and 45 minute movie that apparently the studios think people want to see.
Like, well, I do appreciate that the past few years we've kind of gone back to where let's not force this into a 90 minute flick and get people in and out. Get it running more times through the weekend, and people don't want to sit longer than 90 minutes. I think that's the consensus, is that they're realizing, no, people want it to be as long as it needs to be to make it work right. They're willing to sit there. I don't know, but I agree. And
that should be it, but I feel like it's not. The dollar reigns supreme, but it should be that the movie will be as long as it needs to be, unless it's, what just came out that was only 2 hours that should have been like 3 hours.
Anything from the Wachowskis.
Yeah, that was actually probably
probably Age of Ultron. Age of Ultron.
Yeah, that was the one. Yeah, they dropped it down to 2 hours. Probably could have been 2:30 at least and been a little bit nicer.
Because you rush your Ultron and your Vision creation there. So two key characters, but agreed. Yeah, it looks good. We've been excited about it for a while, and now to see the reviews actually start popping out, pretty exciting, especially at such a a film festival where there is supposedly so much amazing, you know, so many amazing films showing.
Yeah, I don't know. Runtime is such a hard thing to have hard opinions about because a movie just needs to be as long or as short as it needs to be to do a good job telling. There's plenty of movies I've seen that were 90 minutes long and were probably 30 minutes longer than they need to be. And plenty of movies that were 2.5 hours long and 20 or 30 more minutes would have made it in a significantly better movie. But I don't know. It's tough to say that, but there's plenty of them you see after the fact where you hear about this scene that got cut or get to see special features. You're like, wow, that's a totally different movie with that extra bit in there. Or another movie you see like, wow, you could have cut a good hour of that out and it's still been just as good a movie. So I don't know.
I think what's his name is notorious for that. And his comedies, Judd Apatow. It got to the point where people were really like, look, to be honest, you could take these 2 to 2.5 hour movies, knock out 15, 20 minutes, and it would be funnier because you wouldn't have those certain lull times that weren't needed in it. So yeah, I think it could go both ways there. But besides the reviews, like I mentioned too, new viral, you know, marketing that they're doing with the Aries 3 YouTube channel. So new video out. Did you guys check it out?
I haven't because my general opinion on stuff is that if I'm already on board, I stop paying attention to anything that's going on. Like I didn't read any of the Toronto International Film Festival reviews for The Martian. I haven't watched any of the like updated trailers since they did the viral release of their psyche vows after the 10 days of isolation and stuff like that. I stopped. I was like, nope, done. I'm going to see this movie. It's going to be awesome. I don't need more. I don't want it giving anything away or anything like that, even though I've read the book. I'm on board, so I'm done. I don't need any more.
See, that's what I was going to say. Which, give away, like you read the book.
Which viral video are you talking about? Are you talking about like the Under Armour commercial?
No, is that the workout one, the lose your helmet or whatever?
The Leave Your Mark one?
Leave Your Mark? No, the Leave Your Helmet.
I don't know what you're talking about.
There's a new helmet one. I don't know.
There's one called Leave Your Mark that has him working out.
Yeah, that's it. My bad.
And it's definitely... I think it's an Under Armour commercial.
Well, it's pretty.
There's a lot of shots of him that are very much focused in on the Under Armour logo on the clothing he's wearing.
Hey, I mean, you got to get your money where you can, I guess. I don't know. Hey, I would rather them do it there on these videos than do it right in the movie, you know?
I don't know. They've Unless been releasing. You know, Wayne's style. The ones I've been trying to avoid is 20th Century Fox keeps releasing teaser trailers and movie clips, and they just released a clip, which is basically. Donald Glover character's Rich Purnell explaining the Rich Purnell maneuver to like NASA officials. And it's kind of.
Don't watch that clip. If you have
what
the book,
are you kidding me right now?
I mean, there's no science in it. It's basically him just being weird, nerdy guy saying like with a stapler, like walking around the room being like, they accelerate and then they fly by. And
Tyler's
they basically,
let me explain exactly what he
explains. He definitely explains the whole, he explains the Rich Purnell maneuver. He proves that he is a steely eyed missile man. So
Aaron, are you excited for The Martian?
Obviously I'm excited.
Okay. And I didn't know with how quiet you were. I just didn't.
Well, I can't get a word in with you guys. You disagree, but whatever. No, but I wanted to say that I completely agree with Adam. I don't want to read any film reviews or anything like that. Like I'm on board and I like watching the YouTube videos. It's a lot of fun.
Well, then that's not completely what Adam was saying because Adam said he wasn't going to watch the YouTube videos.
I thought he was gonna, okay. Well, okay. Here's how I feel about the YouTube videos. It's just like an extension of the movies. And I want it to keep going. This is like jewels. This is like an appendix of a book.
I agree. I like them, but it doesn't mean Adam can't watch them after the movie, you know.
True that,
yeah. Can't enjoy it. And I'm sure they're going to be on the Blu-ray that each of us will buy with the special features.
And like usual, I'm probably going to follow in Adam's footsteps and just start doing what he does and not watch anymore until afterwards.
Because
it's some pretty good advice. It's some good advice.
The reason you're going to do that and the reason you're following his footsteps is that Adam has now taken the number one spot both weeks, first 2 weeks of the fall season.
Yeah.
Our fantasy movie league. So I did touch on it on the movie pass that we are, of course, playing fantasy movie league. And for those of you that have been listening to us, shout out again to Anne in second place there this week. Hard fought though with the, with that great third place finish there for Iggy. And then Aaron, who did not get last place last week, we mentioned it while you weren't on the episode last week. But now that you're back, we get to point out that you did get last place this week.
Hey, aww. That's okay, because you know who else is down there at the bottom with me? I'm totally cool with it.
Tyler's sixth place finish on the week. Both of y'all behind Sarah, who had half of her screens empty, which you get a penalty for each screen empty, too. So.
To be fair, I really spent, very little time. Like, I literally spent about 30 seconds at work just click, 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 click as fast as I could. And I still did, of course I did horrible.
You still did last place. I mean.
Everybody in there, too. But, of course, the season numbers are still close enough. We were talking about it before we started recording. Anything could happen at this point. That's pretty cool, especially with some big movies on the horizon. But at the box office, which the Fantasy Movie League is going off of, actually saw a hard-fought battle between the perfect man or the perfect guy. Perfect Man, right? And The Visit.
The Perfect Guy.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect Guy and The Visit. Difference of $1 million, really, for the final box office numbers, which is pretty close. But M. Night... returning with The Visit, self-funded $5 million, kind of independent, picked up, released, and then made five times what it cost him. Something.
I mean, that's good business right there, buddy.
Yeah. Well, and it's something he definitely needed this for, considering his past few box office outings. Might be able to get him back into some of those big budget thrillers, I guess is what he does. But no, you don't want him back in there.
No, I don't think that's his. I don't think that's his fit. He doesn't fit in the. We're gonna make, we're gonna give this guy $100 million and see what he can do. Like, he doesn't need that. It's more about his story than it is about the dollars surrounding it.
It might be a good point, because the ones that have been, as he's gotten more and more budget lately, those ones have gotten lost in other things. Lady in the Water, The Happening, all that. Was it The Happening where they're like, this is his first rated R movie, and it was like such a big deal about it just being rated R. And then Lady in the Water was definitely on the side of like, let's check out these water effects and the lighting and stuff like that. I guess I could see what you're saying there, but I mean, he proves his point with the low budget, supposedly not scary at all, which if you saw from the trailers, didn't look scary at all, but a lot of people that I know that saw it were saying it's good for what it is. It's fun. So, I mean, and that's what you want out of a movie. You want it to be fun.
That's all you need. Yep. If it's going to be scary, let it be scary. If it's going to be a little bit suspenseful and fun, let it be suspenseful and fun. Don't try to force it to be something that's not. I agree with that 100%. I haven't seen it though. I'll need to.
Yeah. And Mission Impossible, still in the top five domestically, finished number one internationally with almost $100 million pull, and was a huge, huge weekend for it. It's number seven now on the year, which is Paramount's only movie in the top 10 for the box office on the year. They've had a rough year. But big international numbers, and this just doesn't seem like it's going to go anywhere, because the only – when you look at what's coming out over the next few weeks, you do have that – what's that – that natural – whatever movie that's coming up. You have Everest. But Everest is still.
That's like a natural. It's like an actual movie.
Natural disaster, whatever. Sorry. That's still kind of a different play than Mission Impossible. You're talking James Bond before you really have something that competes in that realm.
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to stick around till.
Oh, no. Bond. No, you got too many other things coming out that are going to be pushed away.
Well, this weekend is the first weekend of the second half of the year, first weekend of the post summer, first weekend of Fantasy Movie League, where we actually have blockbusters that require it. Requires some serious thought into it. Between The Maze Runner, Black Mass, and Everest coming out this weekend, this is the first of increasingly big weekends through the end of the year.
Yeah, so. And with Fantasy Movie League, the way the numbers work, you can't, there's no, if you put all three of those in, you're not, or if you can't even, I don't think you can put all three of those in, you're not putting anything else in there too. So it gets to the point to where you do have to have strategy involved, and you have to think, which of these big titles am I going to leave out, could be a strike, could not. Besides, Mission Impossible's continued success, Minions opened up in China, more than almost doubling what they said was the original animation opening day with Kung Fu Panda. I think it was over $20 million. I'd have to look on our on our site to see what it was. But Minions, just another big boost for Universal this year. It just seems like it's not going to stop for them all year. 20.5 million opening day in China, which previously was held by Kung Fu Panda with only half that. Or Kung Fu Panda 2, excuse me. So huge, huge opening over at the Chinese theater, which that's something that we see just continues to be growing and growing and growing as well for American cinema over there.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how that kind of plays out over the next, you know, few months or years in terms of sequels and things like that, because I feel like those foreign markets are starting to push a lot more on the decisions for the studios. And if they're going to make the movie, they'll release it here in the States as well. You just can't ignore the dollars that go to the movie theater from us. But it's interesting to see how a movie can be, you know, not as well received here in the States, but like instantly greenlight a sequel when it releases overseas.
Yeah. But again, Universal, who set the 2 billion mark the second weekend of August, which was previously in the second weekend of December, held by, I think we said it was Paramount, was the previous holder. So it's just been a disappointing year for Paramount. Thank you, Mission Impossible. I mean, for them.
If we're gonna make fun of a studio that's a big name, big money studio,
Sony.
It's Sony. name one movie that Sony has released this year.
Well, the problem is that everything leaked out, and the other studios got a hold of them and made those movies first, right? It's something like that.
No, it's that they're really bad. Do you know what, like, their
that
highest...
That was my joke.
So... I know. I'm just saying, like, their highest grossing movie of the year is Pixels.
Yeah, that's kind of disappointing.
Ouch.
Yeah.
I mean...
Aaron can get behind that, though.
What do you think about that movie, Aaron?
I don't know. I don't know. I have mixed emotions because... I don't know. I don't want to think about it right now. Like, it's another Pixar movie, you know.
No, what?
What?
Pixels, the Adam Sandler movie.
Oh, shit.
Welcome to the conversation.
I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about Inside Out for some reason. I don't know why.
Why would Sony be Pixar?
I don't know. I don't know. Okay, I'm sorry. The Pixels movie, you know, whatever. Just leave me alone, guys. Just leave me alone.
I don't know. When your top three movies of the year are Pixels, Paul Blart number 2, and The Wedding Ringer. It's time to make some changes.
What else have they made this year, though?
Their fourth biggest grossing movie is War Room, if that says anything.
Well, that's only how many weeks out?
I mean, it came out in August 28th.
Oh, has it been? Okay, so it's been a few weeks.
And it's made $39 million, so that's number 4 on their list.
Man.
I mean, I'm looking at the list, and the only movie on here that they've come out with that I've seen is Chappie. Yeah.
Was that this year?
Yeah,
I guess that was early this year, wasn't it?
In March, because we went and saw it when we were at Planet Comic Con.
Yeah, that's right. I liked that movie. But
I liked it a lot, but it
didn't make a lot of money, right?
It didn't make any money at all. And then in The Interview, which came out actually on Christmas, technically, but was in theaters for a little bit at the beginning of the year. But it only made $2.5 million, but everything
limited,
else.
Limited theaters, too.
Yeah, limited theaters, and it was on Netflix like that same week, so
pretty much. Yeah.
So, but yeah, Pixels, Paul Blart number 2, and The Wedding Ringer, 1, yeah. 2, 3 for Sony this year.
Sony. That's the way to rebound from that whole email leak, or that whole data leak last year. Go win big at the box office the next year, huh?
Well, I mean, to put it in perspective, I guess, I don't know, what was their biggest thing?
Right, it's not like they've been tearing it up the past couple of years.
Spider-Man.
Yeah, pretty much Spider-Man. Yeah.
And now that's not even 100% theirs anymore.
they're falling into Marvel from, you know, 10 years ago, where they're going to have to start selling properties back so that they can stay afloat. At least their movie division will.
They peaked back in 2012 at almost $1.2 billion on 19 movies. 2013, 15 movies, $792 million. Last year, 18 movies, $975 million. And one of those was a Spider-Man. And then this year, they've had 12 movies come out, and they're at 387.
Ouch.
There are movies that have come out this year
that have made more money
than Sony Studios has made.
So who's Sony going to take with the first draft pick next year? Because that's a lock. That's a lock already. I don't know. So anyways, a lot of things going on at the box office. And like you said, three big ones coming out this year. including Black Mass, Everest, and then of course the Maze Runner, which the Maze Runner should have a pretty solid week, at least week, but probably a few weekends. But that's the box office for you. Once again, we'll keep an eye on what Mission Impossible's doing, mainly because I'm going to probably stack my fantasy movie league with that if it keeps sneaking in at the top five. But besides the box office, a lot of things going on. We covered a lot of Dragon Con last week, but Erin wasn't here since she just bowed out of our podcast last week. Erin?
I was sick, man.
Did you want to share any thoughts from Dragon Con? These guys missed your bragging about being in Dragon Con.
Did you guys see enough pictures?
Missed is a strong.
Because I started sending these guys pictures like immediately. Before I even got on the shuttle to take me to the airport, I was sending pictures with big old grins on my face. So did I advertise enough?
The first couple of photos were pretty amazing, but I feel like you faded pretty fast.
You know,
I feel like we hit our peak at the shuttle to the airport.
About 24 hours in, not even that. I think about within an hour or two of you arriving at the hotel, we lost all contact, I think.
Here we go, guys. Eddie B. Photos was kind enough to send me a few of photos he captured of me from the weekend. So let me share a few of these with you real quick. So you got to get into it when you're holding the lights for the camera shot.
Yeah, Iggy was a helpful one of the camera assistants during one of our photo shoots. And
when Posh Spice looks like she's going to take a poop there, I guess I'm going to catch it. I don't know.
It's a poop shot.
Wow. And then I was a little sweaty in that shot too. It got pretty intense out there. Speaking of humidity, Atlanta is definitely known for that. So, so fun. Yep. Fun times there. Sorry for everybody else who's listening. You don't get to see
that. That second one, you definitely look like you're doing your best sigh in one of his music video.
Is that what I was going for? I don't really know what I was even going for Friday night. I'm going to be honest. Friday night at Dragon Con, not quite.
Yeah, true. Iggy was real, real drunk, and he did his best to sabotage our photo shoot. I did sabotage the
Spice Girls photo shoot. When I mooned the camera, I don't think Eddie got a shot of that one. So luckily that photo won't make it out there.
Luckily. But it did eclipse the lighting, so
it made it a lot brighter for some reason. A lot brighter.
Yeah. And he did this, and you're sharing this with all of our listeners. Your mom is probably listening, and she's like,
"My mom doesn't know how to work anything audio computer wise. She's not listening." But even if she was, yes, mom, I mooned the photo shoot. She wouldn't be surprised. That one.
Nobody is surprised. Yeah, see?
Anyways, so sorry, didn't mean to steal your Dragon Con thunder, Erin.
I had a lot of fun. I met Garth and Wayne and the Aquabats. And it was real, real cool. We found out that, okay, I'm just going to do a little bit of bragging here. Is that okay with you guys? Okay. So my Jessica Rabbit, it's funny. We did an experiment. If I was with a group of guys, more than two men, nobody wanted to take a picture with me. And I decided I was going to walk across the way. And within like 30 seconds, I just had nonstop pictures. So I just think that's interesting, and I wanted to brag about it.
It is funny. So we're standing there. This was Sunday evening, and we're waiting on the rest of the group to join us. So we have Stephen K. Smith props, and he's costumed out at this point. He's just at his SKS props t-shirt. Toby wasn't there yet because Toby is at a panel. Ryan, who's friends with Esmeralda Von Katz and them, he was there because Esmeralda Von Katz and a few others were in the cosplay competition. So he was there wasn't really in costume. He was wearing kind of like a closet costume. And then myself, just in Project Nerd stuff. So there's three guys, no costumes, and Jessica Rabbit standing there talking to us. And yeah, not a single person stopping her to take a photo. And it made a joke. So we had her go stand on the other side. And I think it was Steven who was even saying, no, it's not going to change anything. She's just not getting any photos. Like before she's even finished walking to the other side of the rail, she did get stopped for some photos. So.
It was one of those things that, I don't know, I guess I just want to say people need to not be afraid to take a picture with anybody, especially when you're at a convention. If you see someone in costume, stop them and say hi. I had someone on my page say something like they were so ashamed because they didn't stop me to get a picture because I was walking. And it's like, no.
You're so famous, girl. You're so famous.
You stop it. But
no, it was the difference, though, too, when you're standing in a group of costume people. and you were standing with three guys who were pretty much not in costume. Cause when the whole group got, cause when we were hanging out with everybody, there's, I mean, a good 15 to 20 people we were hanging out with that evening, and most of them in costume. People don't stop that.
Well, if I don't get pictures, I feel like my costume must not be good enough.
No, if you don't get pictures, it's cause you hide from the cameras.
Do I?
I don't know. Anyways.
That sounds about right.
I think he's making fun of me now.
Adam?
Yes.
Adam, that's not nice. That's not nice. Yes. Anyway. Okay. No. Erin got her 5 minutes of Dragon Con. We can rope Tyler back in here and move on then.
I talked about myself enough, I think.
Well, no, the best part will be in like a couple weeks when we were talking about something and Erin goes, hey, do you guys remember that one time I went to Atlanta and I got to hang out with all of these people? And
it was so much fun. It was so much fun.
That's really what I'm looking forward to.
Those are exciting times. Exciting times indeed. So, all right. Besides the box office, more video game stuff going on. Adam, you've been playing some Metal Gear.
I have been. Also, tonight at, I guess, 11 o'clock Central, the download can begin for The Taken King for Destiny, which is their kind of year two kickoff.
Yeah, people are freaking out about this. This is the one that had like the pre-order if you didn't own the game, right? That you could get all the extra stuff.
So, it had a like a huge issue when they announced it because they were like, oh, if you, you know, for, because the DLC for people who have been playing Destiny and own the other two DLCs is $40, which is about double what you pay for a regular DLC for a game. Excuse me, but they're making some pretty substantial changes and it's supposed to be a lot of content. So I was like, okay, no big deal. But then they came out with this like $80 edition for people who had never played Destiny that had like full collector's edition. So it had like replica props and like journals and all sorts of stuff that you could get with it. And everybody's like, oh man, that looks awesome. But I already own all the games, so I don't want to pay that, you know, that 80 or 100 bucks or whatever it was. And so there's a big like, I think I'm going to use kerfuffle about it, where people got upset and frustrated. So they finally kind of came up with a, like a compromise for people to be able to where, like smooth over a bunch of it. They lost a bunch of fans or a bunch of people that were playing the game pretty regularly, but I think in the end that a lot of folks are going to come back and end up playing some more. So that comes out tonight. So that's exciting if you play Destiny.
I've seen a lot of things on the Facebooks about it. A lot of excitement for my gamer friends since I'm not a gamer.
Are any of you guys coming back?
I am. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to try to get a 35 Prison of Elders run tonight after we're done to try to get done because that'll round out my Marks of Triumph for year one. That's the last one that I need.
I never finish my Marks of Triumph. I need Skolas and some chests and some public events. I don't think I have time tonight.
Oh, Skolas is so hard. That's why I haven't done that one yet.
But yeah, I pre-ordered it. I'm picking it up tomorrow after work and we'll probably play. Cause like you can start the download tonight, but the actual servers with the expansion don't go up until like 5 AM Eastern time or something like that. So
yeah, whatever the regular server reset time is tonight.
Good strategy though to let you start the download before so not everybody's trying to download right when it's time to play.
Well, the other thing that they do that's pretty cool is so last Tuesday, so a week ago, they actually updated the patch for everybody because the game changes whether you buy the update or not. You just don't get access to all of the new content if you don't buy the update. So the way they do their leveling and all that kind of stuff changed completely. And so that patch was effective last week. So theoretically, as long as you turn your system on sometime this week, you've gotten all of the the big download already taken care of. It was like 17 gigs or something like that. But then tonight, all that's going to happen is you're going to download basically all the unlocks for all the content, which is kind of cool. So to help people be able to play like day one a little bit faster.
Does this qualify as Adam as a gamer knowing all this, Erin?
Adam's clearly a gamer. We all know
that. I was just making sure.
Like, he doesn't have to prove himself, but he's, yeah.
Cool.
It.
Exciting. Cool.
Yeah, anybody that's watched me play games may not agree with that. I play a lot of games, but I don't, I'm pretty awful.
No, I don't know about that, because when I watch you play, I'm like, you're so graceful. How do you play the, how? I just suck at games. That's all.
It's good enthusiasm there, though. Good enthusiasm. Exciting stuff. So yeah, new Destiny download, of course, this week. And I didn't know if Adam was going to find the time to step away from some was Phantom Pain to pick this up. We thought Adam was busy playing video games this past few weeks. Just wait till now when he's got to balance all of these.
Yeah, I'm super screwed this year. I'm glad your
Supernatural review's done, because it would be a Tyler type review if he would have gotten past Tuesday.
Well, to be fair, I haven't really been able to get super into the Phantom Pain because I needed to get that Supernatural review done, and I hadn't seen all the episodes, so I had to watch, 23 episodes at 45 minutes a pop. Like, that's a lot of TV. And I have to watch it with my wife. So it has to be times that we're both available. Cause if I watch it by myself, then when I go to watch it again, I have to go back to what she hasn't seen to get caught up. So
that's one of the great things about the CW, and also one of the bad things in review cases, they're not doing these short stint seasons. Like, these aren't 8-10 episode seasons.
No. Yeah. It was awesome. But yeah, it was 20 hours of TV on top of my trying to fit 20 hours of video games in a week, on top of my having to work and spend time with my wife and go to sleep.
Sleep.
As you see, my
sleep's overrated.
And read. I'm 70% through Children of Dune, which is really quite good. So I don't know. I don't know actually how I do anything, but apparently I do.
Tyler, you didn't comment on the pumpkin spice must flow images that were shared.
I was online for a couple. I was really busy for a couple days there, and I caught up on all of it and didn't realize you had posted all those. But it was pretty solid. The spice must flow, man.
It was even funnier. There was this guy at Dragon Con, and he had a shirt on that said something like "the spice must flow," and I was like, "Let's take a picture." And Iggy was like, "No." But you guys were in my heart when I saw it, and I was like, "That guy has a shirt!" And I was real drunk, so I was like screaming it. And anyway,
this was the reason Aaron and I were hanging out in that area, unfortunately, together at that moment. We'd lost our other friends, but at the same time, Aaron was getting ready to do an interview. And as much as I want to tease her about this is actually my flop.
Somebody charged the batteries.
Somebody did. Yeah, those rechargeable batteries were pretty dead. So our Dragon Con interview was about a minute.
Yeah.
And the, business cards.
The guy of a novel series called March, Andrew, I just sat down to interview him and was really embarrassed when it died on me.
It was funny because she came up to me afterwards. She goes, "I thought about just pretending the interview was still going and letting him keep talking." I'm like, no, it's been, because that could have been like, "Where's the interview?" Yeah.
We decided not to use it because you didn't say the right things.
Yeah.
That's what I should say.
You were kind of politically incorrect in it. You know, when you mentioned the point about the color of the cover, we didn't appreciate that comment.
Anyways, yeah, that's what I did.
Good plug for him. What book series was it again? So that way we at least
It's called March. And I was impressed that he actually let me have the interview time, because people were coming up to him nonstop asking him for autographs and buying his books. So
yeah, Dragon Con's not a place where you typically get many interviews unless they're like set up through the convention ahead of time. So not a lot there.
And he was super personable. So go buy his book, March.
It's called March, by the way, in case you didn't hear.
Good. I was thinking that I couldn't buy the book until March. We cleared that up, though.
Novel, graphic novel, comic book?
It's a novel.
Okay. What's the author's name?
Andrew Aydin. I mean, it's AYDIN.
She's making stuff up now. She doesn't remember at all.
I'm actually looking at it right now on Amazon here. March one, paperback. It came out in 2013. And so Andrew Aydin was one of the authors. Oh, shit. I didn't even open up the book. It's a graphic novel.
I was going to say, that's a graphic novel.
It's totally a graphic novel.
The one about the civil rights movement.
Yeah, it's a graphic novel. I didn't read it.
The point is both volumes were very popular at Dragon Con.
Yeah, both volumes.
Okay.
And Andrew, I
don't think Adam's come back. He has gone back in his chair. He's laughing so hard. There's no recovery here.
But anyway, another thing that I have to point out about Dragon Con, I'm sorry, I have to go back to this, but it's related to Dune. Okay? It's related to Dune. So
you would not believe the
amount of pumpkin spice latte signs that he saw and got so excited about. So those little memes going around about the pumpkin spice must flow, like, that's Iggy. Like, that's him. He's one of those white hipster girls that loves it.
He's a member of the Spacing Guild.
Yep.
I like it. I'll allow it.
I don't even know what that's reference to.
It's what makes space travel possible. That's why the spice melange must flow. Interstellar travel would be impossible.
Let me know when you guys are finished.
Read the book, Aaron.
I'll read the book as soon as I can. As soon as I'm finished reading this new book that I'm reading.
Which is?
It's called Alex and Me. It's a nonfiction book about a lady with a parrot. You know, the really famous parrot, Alex.
The one with the toxin does
the
things.
The African gray who died with a five-year-old's intelligence. Five-year-old human's intelligence. It makes me like want to cry the whole time I read it. It's so sad and happy. Anyway, good talk.
Did you read some more Pratchett?
I did. I read I Will Wear Midnight.
Did you read the We Free Men or Hatful of Sky?
No, I haven't had time. I haven't even been back to the library yet, and I don't really buy books.
Then how did you read I Shall Wear Midnight? It's like book 4 in the series.
Is it really?
Yes.
Holy crap. I didn't know that.
If you're reading the Tiffany Akey novels, before you can read Hatful of Sky, before you can read I Shall Wear Midnight, you need to read The We Free Men and Hatful of Sky.
Well, geez, this is exciting. I'm so excited. Well, it read as if it was a standalone novel, so.
And it's not, because the one that I just finished, his last book that was published after he died, is about Tiffany too, and it's the last of the Tiffany books and Discworld books. So.
Aw, so sad. Are they related to Discworld?
Yes, they take place in Discworld, and there's characters that show up in the Tiffany books that are in, like, the main continuity books.
Sweet. Thanks for telling me that. I'm excited.
Because, Granny Weatherwax and Nanny Ogg, like, they're main characters in, like, the second book that came out back in, like, the 80s.
I feel like Discworld and Terry Pratchett's series is, like, 10 times better than Dune. So, okay. Adam, I'm not sure what's going on.
So those are two very different things you're trying to compare there.
Am I like...
They're equally amazing.
...striking a chord right now with the book nerds?
Well, I mean, Pratchett,
That guy.
Frank Herbert.
70%.
Yeah. Frank Herbert. It's interesting because he was writing these books like way early and, we're selling out hardcovers, like particularly Children of Dune was like one of the first major sci-fi books to sell out of its first pressing and hardcover, and got a bunch of other sci-fi authors off of doing like serial releases of their books and magazines and publications like that. And like companies going, hey, we can actually release this whole book to a major audience and sell a ton of copies of it. And so I don't want to say without Frank Herbert and Dune, you wouldn't have Terry Pratchett and Discworld from a publishing standpoint. It's probably truer than not. I'm sure the books would have still been written, but they may not have had the publishing success that they ended up with.
Huh. That's a really interesting point that you make about.
And then Terry Pratchett went on to become Great Britain's best-selling living author. Right up until that little shit Harry Potter came around, and that ruined everything. Right up until that point, books outsold everything. They did go down. They were honored with the honor at one point of being the most shoplifted book in all of Great Britain at some point.
Wow. So
I don't know if it's like a scientific study thing, but.
Are you not a Harry Potter fan?
I never read them. I was too old. I've seen all the movies. I
was too old too. That's
too old to ask Adam's wife about being.
But then I did.
I know. See, it's a thing.
Anyway,
I
although at the same time, Adam did marry like a like a child. I think he had to get special permission there. No, I'm just kidding.
Whoa.
The thing about the age gap.
Like that joke
does not work.
Literally,
with
like 2 years.
With an uninitiated audience.
Now everybody thinks I'm a pederast. Thanks.
Sorry.
No.
But
she's of age. People. She's always of age, and she is probably intellectually more mature than all four of us combined. But anyway,
her brain is bigger than all of us. But no, seriously, Tyler, you just have to power through.
Oh, I know. And I know that I should sometimes. I started, by the time they came out and he had gotten popular, I had already read a ton of fantasy, you know, your Tolkien's, your Pratchett's, your Jordan's.
Exactly.
And I had a girlfriend at the time who read them, and I picked up the first book and got maybe a halfway in and just like, I can't do this. This is too.
That's why I recommend that you start in the second or third book.
One of these days I'll sit down and knock them out, but it's not that I've never like actively disliked them. I got halfway through the first one and just couldn't do it.
Right. If you're comparing it, like, and as a younger person, not that you're old now, but as a younger person, you know, when you're a little too old for something that is directed at a young adult audience, it becomes hard not to be like, I'm clearly too old for this because you think, you know, I'm like 16. I'm super old right now. I don't need to be reading
I would honestly
this.
Say I read significantly more young adult, like fantasy and sci-fi now than I did when I was actually a young adult, you know.
Right, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
I read significantly more of that now in my, you know, late 20s, early 30s than I did when I was in my teens. But I know what it is. I know what it is going in, and I can appreciate it for what it is. If it's, I mean, there's still bad adult young adult fiction and good young adult fiction, but at the time I tried to read it, it wasn't going to happen. So maybe now, one of these days, I can sit down and go back and do them again.
I think that as adults, we like to read those easy reads now because it's like, I don't have to think as much. And when you're a teenager, you're searching for the meaning of life.
Yeah, it's like reading candy.
Yeah.
Just candy. You just pound right through this. There's nothing super intense about it. I'm just going to pound through this book. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to enjoy it.
It's like why I like to play Plants vs. Zombies.
Airport fiction. Disposable fiction. Something I'm going to buy for $2 at the airport and read on the flight and never think about ever again.
There you go.
All right. So what's everybody, speaking of books, what's everybody reading right now? I'm still on Ready Player One. I haven't had much time lately though, but it's a good start.
Dude, read over your lunch break. That's when I read. And it's totally helpful. I get a couple chapters knocked out over lunch.
I work over my lunch break.
That's a ridiculous thing. I'm reading.
I don't think you understand how lunch breaks work.
I'm reading Children of Dune. That's what I'm reading. It's quite good.
Well, I already said what I'm reading. I'm reading a book about a parrot.
All right. Tyler?
Right now, I am reading Firefight by Brandon Sanderson. It's the second book in his Reckoner series. The first one was called Steelheart. Is that right? I don't know. It came out quite a while ago. I bought it right when it came out. I just didn't have time to read it, but I just started. It's okay. Brandon Sanderson, for those who aren't aware, is a very prolific writer. So at any given time, he's got like 5 different series going on. He's did like the Mistborn trilogy, Elantris, Warbreaker. He was the guy that was hired to finish Wheel of Time after Robert Jordan died. He also has the King, not King Killer.
Never ask Tyler what he's reading. Never ask.
I'm just saying Brandon Sanderson's someone out there that people should look into. He also has the Way of Kings series. That's the Stormlight Archive, which is fantastic. What I'm looking forward to is I'm really just finding fine stuff to fill the time between now and the end of the month, September 29th, Jim Butcher's new book, The Aeronauts When Last, comes out. And that is the first book in his new series that he's starting called The Cinder Spires, which is a steampunk-inspired airships and swashbuckling kind of story. So
haven't mentioned this one before. We had no idea.
Not The Dresden Files and not Codex Alera, but something totally new from Jim Butcher.
anyways, so... All right. Besides what we're reading, books, video games coming out, movies, what else going on in the news lately? Exciting stuff.
We skipped over one video game thing that's sort of in the news, not really, but something to make everyone in the room feel, well, all the gamers in the room feel old. Yesterday, which would have been September 13th. Obviously, this isn't going to come out for a while, but yesterday for us, September 13th, was the 30th anniversary of the original release of Super Mario Brothers for the Famicom home system.
This time in 1985 was very busy because last week was the first time that Pee-wee's Playhouse aired, 30 years ago. And then just September 14th, so the day we are recording, 30 years ago, Golden Girls premiered as well.
So, Golden Girls is one of my favorite shows.
You're so funny.
That's how the Swedish Chef watches.
Golden Girls.
I mean, 85 had some good stuff going on, but it definitely makes me feel old between Super Mario Brothers.
Being that you're older than that, yes. Yeah. Yes.
So the first time I played Super House. Mario Brothers was in 1990, and I thought it was brand new.
It was close to new-ish for the Super Nintendo system in the United States.
Okay.
The game came out in 85 in Japan for the Famicom home entertainment system. The NES didn't get released into the U.S. until, what, 88, 89?
Somewhere around there.
Or soon later.
Adam's not sure about that. I feel like that's right.
I want to say I thought it was 87, but maybe it is.
Tyler, you might have been off by a whole year.
I apologize.
So, I mean, I feel like this is an important date in American history. People, come on.
Somebody will post it on Facebook at some point.
The Japanese came up with the Italian plumbers. Like, they're following the Italian American plumbers. Like, they were the first into that.
Yeah. Why not? Yeah.
The Italian and plumber part, I don't know when that actually came into the lore of it, but yes.
Like, maybe they were just Japanese plumbers?
Maybe they were just plumbers without nationality.
Well, right. The Japanese don't see borders, Aaron. Okay.
But why is it Mario and Luigi?
Well, the same reason it's Donkey Kong and not Monkey Kong. Because sometimes when you translate things from Japanese to American, to English, you have to just make some decisions.
Okay. That's fine.
And I don't remember playing the first games even on NES or even Super NES where they were saying Mario and Luigi. I just remember that was their names.
I'm glad you finished that sentence and it didn't stop it. I don't remember playing the games for Nintendo or Super Nintendo. What?
No, I just don't remember them jumping around saying, I'm a Mario, I'm a Luigi. Like, that's not how it was going down.
There weren't, you know, like voices in video games. And
yeah, they said, it's a race.
No.
Mario Kart.
Literally like 10 years later for the Super Nintendo. You didn't realize we're talking about 30 years ago right now.
I was actually quoting a movie called Rat Race.
We had the coin sound and the jump sound and some.
I felt like the bounce sound was very Italian American. Iggy, can you back me up on that? The bounce was very Italian American.
No, and Mario Maker came out on Friday, and it's super fun. In case anyone's curious,
I am curious.
What is that?
I am curious. Actually, it's where you make the Mario levels.
It's a new game for the Wii U that allows you to create your own Mario levels using stuff all the way back to original Mario Brothers, all the way up to like the newest Super Mario Brothers U. It's like Little Big Planet, but with Mario and 30 years worth of Mario stuff. You can go online on YouTube and watch a lot of the levels that people have made. It looks a lot of fun.
So I'm kind of curious as to why anybody plays the make your own levels because Adam, you're looking at me with a little bit of like, why, but isn't it just more fun to play everybody else's stuff and not go through all that thought of building your own level? That's...
Well, you can play other people's custom levels.
Yeah, but why would you? Oh, okay.
Because not everyone is like you, Aaron, and sometimes people enjoy other parts of things.
Why is SimCity like one of my favorite games back when I?
That's a little bit different. That's like, you know, it's like having
was
a
it? Was it Rose,
different at all?
Was it Rosebud? Was it asterisk slash asterisk slash asterisk slash?
No, it's significant.
Why is
gotta get that money?
Gameplay is different. Like building obstacle courses so that you can run through something, as opposed to like making a story. Like it's basically like having a Tamagotchi pet when you do SimCity, like only at a complicated level. Okay, maybe I'm making bad comparisons.
Why is Minecraft one of the most popular computer games of the last?
I don't even know anything about it. But my point is, I would like to know why you guys think
crack
it's,
marijuana.
Like,
I'm not.
You guys want to build the games?
Yeah, there's some people like other different kinds of games.
Sounds exciting.
Some people like Plants vs. Zombies. Some people like Metal Gear Solid. Some people like Minecraft.
That's spectacular. That's just a thing. But would you want to build your own Metal Gear Solid level?
That's not the point of what we're saying. I'm saying that, yes, there are people who enjoy that.
Please, please, please.
Okay, but I want to know what the appeal is. Like, that's my question.
I don't know. You would have to ask someone who enjoys those.
It's fun.
It's like playing with Legos.
Adam, do you think it's fun?
Well, it's right. It kind of goes back to, like, if you play Dungeons and Dragons, you have your friends that play, and then somebody's got to be Dungeon Master, and they're not like an active character going through the world. They're there, like, keeping track of everything for everybody else. Some people enjoy that aspect of it because they're helping create the dungeon, they're moving the things around, they're doing what they need to do, and then their friends are able to experience and really enjoy that. It's the same kind of thing here, except it's not just my friends that can play my Mario levels. It's, you know, anybody.
So you think it's more about like that, like I created something that other people can use.
Yeah. And other people can have fun with, you know, I made this that's super hard, but also super fun.
Yeah. And it'd be exciting to challenge your friends too, like people, you know, let alone getting, you know, one of the cool things too about the games like that, finding the levels that are available on the internet that mimic something else. So when Little Big Planet, was it 2 or 3 that had it to where you could really start downloading other people's levels? And you would find levels that like mimicked Mario or mimicked, you know, Sonic or things like that. So it was kind of a cool thing too. So being able to create something, you know, that mimics something else. But as well as I think it would, the idea for me with this game that would be awesome is to have, you know, you build some levels and then you're having a group of friends hanging out and it's like, okay, who can beat this? Like, you remember that Mario level that we all used to love? Now, like, I just made it like it was on steroids or something, like just made this jump and like 3 times as long and made this, you know, taller and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Some people just like to build things. Like that's the enjoyment they get out of it is creating something and then it being cool. Like some people want to play with race cars. Some people liked making the crazy track that did 15 loop de loops and then finding a way to make it so that you could let the car go and it would just do it all itself.
Yeah. When I was a kid, it was all about building the tracks in the city and just leaving them in the room, like just leaving this little town that was built in the room, shoebox buildings, ramps, roads. That was the fun part.
People who like Legos or model train sets and stuff like that. There's a different kind of enjoyment you get from that other than actively playing the game.
All right, but before we wrap up, I do want to talk about one other big news thing, and that was DC Comics, some shakeup in December. So, of course, you know, about 3 months ahead of time, they give you the preview into what's going on. And DC is going to cancel, I think in grand total now, it's a total of 8 titles that are coming about. So, let me see, Justice League United, Gotham by Midnight, The Omega Men, Lobo, Doomed, and then, of course, there was, I think, Batman 66, another series featuring Wonder Woman, a few more. We have a new story on our site this week about it. Catwoman's creative team will also be changing to Frank. Frank Thierry will be writing it, and artist Inaki Miranda will be taking over the art part. So 2 new pieces to that new puzzle. So quite a bit changing for DC in December, along with the number of miniseries launches like Batman Meets the Man from U.N.C.L.E., and Batman and Ninja Turtles, the one to be the most excited for. So a lot of shakeup in DC, but besides those miniseries that were previously announced back at Comic-Con International, a lot of cancellations coming to Blossom this week. Nothing new, though, so interesting.
So, like, obviously, comics get canceled and started and canceled every year, and I'm not a DC guy like you are, but do you know anyone who is reading? I mean, obviously they're getting canceled. There was a lot of people, but anyone who was reading or liked Justice League United or Gotham by Midnight, Omega Man. I mean, Lobo and Doomed and Justice League United, I'd heard of. I didn't even realize that there was a series called Gotham by Midnight or the Omega Man.
The Omega Man was actually supposedly a pretty popular one. I wasn't reading it myself. Lobo, I think the writing was on the wall since the change. There was a lot of pushback on Lobo's new look. On his sleek supermodel look or whatever they had going for him. And when they brought in the new creative team, it just didn't capture the same spirit of Lobo when they relaunched him. So I think that one kind of had the writing on the wall. Batman 66, I'm kind of shocked on because of that throwback Batman. But at the same time, that's something that you want to like. But if you're collecting Batman comics, are you really reading that, you know? So I don't know. A lot of them, yeah, do make sense. And of course, in recent years with the big announcements, you know, the big twists happening and then all the new titles, the new 52, this, you know, the new stuff for Marvel and all that, you're bound to see some titles come and go as they try to experiment to see what's happening. But it seems to be a lot of them all at once. And then DC kind of going on the excuse that, oh, actually, a couple of these were only supposed to be 6-series runs anyways, although that had never been announced until this point. So I don't know. Interesting nonetheless that it's so many titles at one time, I think, is the big thing.
Yeah, and that would kind of be it for me. I don't know. I mean, you named two titles at least that took place in Gotham and Batman's kind of world. And then you had Justice League. It seemed like all except Lobo and maybe Omega Man, like there's not another Lobo comic out right now, right? Like that's the only Lobo one that's out. So they're losing Lobo's him.
Lobo's never like just been ongoing and ongoing on his own anyways. He's always had some kind of come and go.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, the announcement is like, oh, okay. But it seems like all they're doing is condensing some of those worlds that already had two or three different storylines going.
Yeah. And that's the thing with Justice League. I mean, there's always a handful of Justice League issues out there. This isn't like what Marvel's, you know, streamlined the Avengers. The Avengers used to have the same problem. There used to be so many Avengers stories and there were so many characters. And over time they streamlined it. Justice League has always had that same thing. I've collected at a given time, I have collected three series, JLA, Justice League of America, and Justice League Unlimited. All three series had different characters on the team and they were all running monthly at the same time. So, I mean, seeing them knock down, you know, a series off of that is not a big deal because, you know, the regular Justice League series will still be there. I think as long as you have that Justice League series that has the big three and typically, you know, along with Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, you also get your Green Lanterns, your Green Arrows, your Aquamans, your normals to that group. I think you're safe running that. When you start trying to think outside the box like they do with some of these Justice League series, I think that's where you don't see these runs last too long. I don't know. But like I said, the biggest news for me was that it's all the shakeups happening at once in December, right before the new year. And it leads me to wonder, you know, it would be the first or it'd be about the first or second week of October before we'd really see what's happening in January. So I think the question comes to Vecan is this a, you know, as they're pulling stuff aside, pulling it down for December, is there going to be some big announcements for January to kick off 2016? And I guess we'll have to wait about a month before we actually find that out. Yeah, nonetheless. You know, a lot of change in DC Comics. So at the same time, we brought up Adam's Supernatural review up by now, by the time this airs, of course, Brandon's Gotham season one Blu-ray review. Of course, next week we'll also have Arrow season three Blu-ray review and The Flash season one review will be live. And then iZombie won't be too far behind. So Warner Brothers in DC is all over Project Nerd. No cancellations there. We got all that covered. So
no, that's how they're making money.
Yeah. And they are for sure. So with that, we're running short on time, for our latest episode of the Nerdcast by Project Nerd, brought to you by Nerd Kung Fu.
All right. Let's let Tyler.
Oh, look at that. That was pretty good. Yeah.
I owned that moment.
That one was pretty good. Yeah.
I owned that moment right there. Anyway,
did you practice that the whole episode?
While you guys were on the Dune conversation, I was rehearsing it. I muted myself and was over here rehearsing it. No, I'm just kidding. Anyways, but
you're not right. Kidding.
I am kidding. I didn't say it out loud.
Okay.
Anyway, but let's start with Aaron for our closing thoughts this week.
Why do you always do this to me?
Because it's fun.
Why don't you know that it's going to happen?
And because you bailed on us last week.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know closing thoughts were going to happen. By the way, Dragon Con was awesome, and you guys missed it.
All right. Good closing thought.
It was awesome.
Adam, we turn to you.
It's more like a closing burn. No, so lots of video games going on, obviously, and book reading and things like that. So if any of you guys are playing Metal Gear Solid Phantom Pain or picked up Destiny's The Taken King and want to play, shoot us a message on the old Facebooks or leave something down on our website in the comments, and we'll see if we can get hooked up. That'll be fun. We have PS4, by the way, so if you have PS4. That'll work if you have Xbox One or PC or PS3 or Xbox 360. I apologize. I can't do that. But if you have PS4, we're good to go.
All right. Tyler, anything exciting you'd like to wrap up with this week?
I don't know. What's cool? We were talking about toys a little bit last week. There is a new toy coming out from NECA of the Power Lifter from Aliens. And if you haven't seen it yet, you should probably go check it out.
All right. Not to mention Mondo releasing some more clothing with their horror icon sweaters. Adam, did you pick any of those up?
No. I really want the cardigan, the Nightmare on Elm Street cardigan. Oh my gosh, it's so awesome. Because I would legitimately wear that all the time.
well, good luck to you and your quest to hopefully get that.
Yeah.
But I'm going to mention Project Cosplay. We didn't talk about it all episodes. So, of course, February 19th through 21st, we'll kick off our 2016 tour. Exciting, too, is this week, O Comic Con out in Omaha announced their dates and relaunched their website. So July 8th through 10th, we'll be out at that show. And we have a few other shows, of course, that we'll confirm as we get closer to New Year. But Project Cosplay, really excited because I worked out the details last weekend. We wanted to have kind of a big thing going on Friday night and a big thing going on Saturday night. What I'll say for the Saturday night part is, get your Nintendo costumes ready. If you want to get on the go-karts or maybe some laser tag with some first person shooter costumes from video game.
So if I get the end costume set up, yes. I can be prone in a laser tag field.
Sure. So pretty exciting announcements to come regarding, our fun event that we'll have for Saturday night at Project Cosplay. That will take place, of course, Saturday, February 20th, but the whole weekend, February 19th through 21st, will be very exciting if you are in or can get to the Denver area that weekend. Tickets are still available over projectcosplay.com, so project-cosplay.com. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So, great episode. Think we delivered on our promise at the beginning. Little stumbled a little out the gate, but Tyler set us correct, and then from there, we knocked it dead the rest of the way.
From there, it was pure radio gold.
Pure radio gold. That's right. So once again, the Nerdcast is brought to you by Nerd Kung Fu. Head on over to nerdkungfu.com/projectnerd. I promise you, it's a great decision. All the shirts, most of the shirts, you know.
Posters too. You always forget about the posters. They're so cool.
They talk about the shirts too, but there's posters, there's mugs, there's cups, there's towels, there's a lot of good things. Many of the shirts are under $20, including sizes 2XL to 7XL. They have quite a variety of shirts there, so perfect for any geek. And even though the fandoms, they kind of cover the big fandoms on the side menu. Really, if you search for anything, you can find it. Like I said, I got a Judge Death Live shirt, from Judge Dredd. So really cool. But plenty of shirts, and we're going to start sharing some of those shirts weekly with a little opinion on them with some links so you can check them out. But again, nerdkungfu.com/projectnerd. Check them out for sure. Other than that, we'll be joining you again. We're getting pretty close to a special moment for us, a 100th episode, guys. I don't know. We talked about this any on the air. So I'm pretty sure if my calculations are correct, it's going to be the weekend of Rocky Mountain Con that we would need to record our 100th episode. So
What should we do for it? Like, can we have a 100 segues?
100 segues. Yes. Yes. No. I like your idea.
No, we can't.
Yes. I was thinking some guests. We need some special people on. So we'll get some people to join us. Maybe record a few segments at different points during that weekend and then also have us get together afterwards as we normally do. But I'll confirm exactly what weekend it is. But our 100th episode is coming soon. Other than that, though, we'll be back next week for not our 100th episode, but another great episode nonetheless. As we say every week, catch us next week. Same nerd time, same nerd channel.
Oh, yeah.